I want to ride my bicycle. When it comes to bikes, are you a century rider, a road racer, a weight loss biker, or part of the overwhelming majority? Or do you just want to ride your bicycle? I'm Rob Ferret, filling in this week for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network. It's 7 minutes after six on Tuesday, June 26th. My guest this hour is a big fan of bicycles and the people who ride them, and he's done some cultural anthropology looking at the different kinds of people who ride bikes. How do you ride? Do you pull the bike out of the garage once or twice a year? Commute by bike, rain or shine? Do you race? Are you going to pay attention to the Tour de France this weekend? Call and tell us what kind of cyclist you are at 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org. My guest is Mike Magnuson. He's from Appleton. He writes for Bicycling Magazine, and his new book is Bike Tribes, a field guide to North American cycling. He joins us by phone. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm staying out of trouble.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning. Let me ask first, before we even talk about what a bike tribe is, what tribe are you part of?
You know, I'm changing tribes the older I get. I used to be a racer, I guess. I used to be like a overweight rider, which is somebody who, like a weight loss kind of rider. And then I raced for a long time, and now I guess I'm a recreational cyclist who occasionally poorly races cyclocross.
Okay, and you've written in the past about how bicycling changed your life, so it's not surprising that you're changing as a bicyclist along the way.
Yeah, that's true. Getting older, you know, you change the way that you look at riding, for sure.
Now, what inspired you to write a book about the different tribes of cyclists?
Well, I think among cyclists, once you know people who ride bikes either fanatically or just occasionally, you find that that they fall into groups that often stick together, particularly, you know, people who ride road. There's groups of people who form together, ride on the road in different ways, or ride centuries, or race bikes, or do like randonneuring, which is long-distance riding, super long-distance riding. And it just occurred to me that there was something unique about each group that would be interesting to explore in a book.
And do these groups get along with each other, or are there tensions between the more casual riders and the more hardcore folks?
I think that there are very few tensions between casual riders, but the more hardcore people get involved in the sport, the greater the tendency is to be annoyed with other people who are riding bikes.
Well, let's break down some of the different tribes, and let's start with the one that maybe most of our listeners will relate to, what you call the overwhelming majority. Who are they?
Yeah, that's correct. Well, if you look at the people who ride bikes, most people who have a bike just occasionally take their bike out to, you know, go to the store or ride on the bike path. And, you know, when you read cycling publications, we generally focus them on more serious hardcore racing, and this is largely due to marketing, you know, because they want, you know, the idea is to get people to buy fancier bikes, I guess. But most people who ride bikes are just kind of tooling around and enjoying the experience as opposed to using it as a way to achieve maximum fitness and to beat other people in races and stuff like that.
But then all hardcore riders are not created equal. Talk about a few of the different tribes that you talk about in the book.
Well, I mean, there are the highest level of hardcore riders, of course, are professional racers. And these we almost can't consider them as a tribe because they're apart from everybody else. But generally, when people get to riding real seriously, they may do, you know, century riding first, where they do 100 miles a day, or a metric century, 62 miles in a day. And these are serious cyclists. They're riding, you know, at least 10 hours a week, sometimes 15, sometimes 20. And this is, you know, depending on the terrain they live in, if it's flat, that may be more miles. If it's hilly, that may be less miles. And they are, you know, they love bikes. They talk about bikes. Most of their friends are cyclists. And then there's, you know, from that group of people, especially the younger ones, then you develop road racers, which are divided into a bunch of different categories. And generally, the higher up in the racing category you go, you know, the more fit and the more small the people tend to be. So, you know, so like a like what they call a category three person. And in the book, I make some fun of what's called a category three road racer, which is usually a young guy who's real fast, real cocky.
I was just going to say, is there a personality that goes along with that type of hardcore racing?
Well, there is a little bit, you know, and I mean, I want to say this, and I'm not really being mean, but there's a certain level of Napoleon complex that exists in small bike racers, part of which is if you're a big muscle-bound 240-pound person, you're not likely going to be a top-end cyclist because the faster you go is determined upon your power compared to your weight. So if you're a small person with a lot of power, you'll be faster than a heavy person with the equivalent amount of power. And the other thing that goes along with being light and fast is some of these people aren't eating very much. You know, they don't get an ice cream cone or a piece of cheese or something like this, and they're training 20, 25, 30 hours a week, and they are cranky people.
I'd be cranky, too, in that situation, I think.
Oh, man, it's horrible. I did it, you know, and now I'm happy. I used to be cranky, but now I'm a happy person.
Yeah, if I go a few hours without a snack, I get cranky, and I don't even really exercise at all. We're talking with Mike Magnuson about his new book, Bike Tribes, A Field Guide to North American Cyclists. How do you ride your bike? Or is it tucked away in the garage somewhere and you haven't touched it in a few years? Or are you one of these century riders? Call and tell us how you use your bike. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. And do you get together with people who ride the same way you do? You can also email us, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org, or comment on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Mike, before we get back to the rest of the anthropology of the different tribes, let's talk about how you wrote the book. You're using composite characters to describe each of these types, but you really know people in all these groups. Is that right?
Yeah, and we put together the book in a really fun, you know, sort of scientific way. So before I put it together, we sent out a number of surveys to a variety of types of cyclists, over 300 surveys, maybe even more than that. And they weren't like your Survey Monkey survey that you'll see on the on your email and the internet sometimes, where you just click yes or no to certain things. It was a narrative survey, because I'm a writer, so I think in narrative. So I put a bunch of different questions about what people thought about bikes and how they rode and what they thought about other people who rode bikes and what they like to wear and eat and what's their favorite TV shows and so forth. And they wrote out responses to these, and then I kind of looked at how everybody wrote their own story and pieced them together into characters that stood for each different type of cyclist. And then I put them in a situation and, you know, kind of made fun of everybody, I guess.
Sure.
In a lighthearted way. But,
sure. And you kind of almost built this fictional town where all these different types of bikers run across each other or meet the guy from the bike shop and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of interlocking narratives that take place in some kind of small college town. I didn't really intend it to be Midwestern, but since I'm Midwestern, it kind of turned out that way.
Talking to Mike Magnuson about his new book, Bike Tribes, A Field Guide to North American Cyclists. He frequently writes for Bicycling Magazine. His works appeared in the Best American Sports Writing series. We're talking about how we ride our bikes and the tribes of bicyclists that we belong to. Lines are filling up, but you can call in with your bike story, 800-642-1234, or email your story or your questions, talk@WPR.org. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in this week for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network. Quick look at the weather. Today, mostly sunny and mild with highs in the 70s and low 80s, cooler along the Great Lakes. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the 50s and low 60s. Tomorrow, hot and sunny. Slight chance of rain in the northwestern part of the state. Highs in the 80s and 90s. Going to stay warm the rest of the week with highs in the 80s and 90s around the state. Talking to Mike Magnuson this hour, he's the author of Bike Tribes, A Field Guide to North American Cyclists, talking about the kinds of people who ride bikes, how we use them. Do we commute? Do we ride for fun? Do we ride for competition? Or do we keep the bike locked up in the garage, look at it, see that the tires are flat, and forget about it till next year? We're going to hear your stories, too, this hour, and we'll start with Eric in Milwaukee. Hi, Eric. You're on the air.
Good morning. Great topic. Yeah, I would consider myself a commuter. I ride for fun, and I've been trying to find out a route to get from Milwaukee to Madison, and I've been on the internet reading about different things, and I haven't really found something that's really solid, a good, decent route, or a tribe that does it on a regular basis. And I was looking around and trying to find people who may be interested in riding at the lakefront where we exercise for a bit, hop on a bike, ride to the next exercise station, and just repeat it for a circuit. And so I'm just looking for people who are interested in fitness and running from Milwaukee to Madison and working out the lake with the bicycle.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call, Eric. Mike Magnuson, first of all, an exercise biker and a commuter, that he fits a couple of the tribes, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I was just thinking while I was saying that a month ago, there was a kind of an event that's not really official that goes, it's something called the Bone Ride that goes from Milwaukee to Madison and back in one day. And I rode that this year, or at least gave it a try.
Uh-huh.
And if you look around on the internet, you might be able to find the route they take.
That's Bone Ride, B-O-N-E?
Yeah, B-O-N-E. Yeah. Huh. And the route basically follows, it parallels I-94 over to Madison, and it's great. There's just terrific roads. You know, it's real wide open, not too hilly. You know, good places to stop at convenience stores, which are key. It's a long ride, and it's really great. You know, you get to Madison, and there you are. You have lunch on State Street and turn around and come back.
Eric, I hope you can find that route. And speaking of Milwaukee, Mike, you're going to be in Milwaukee today. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
You've got signing. You've got a couple book signings in Wisconsin this week, but not at bookshops. They're at bike shops. You'll be at... let me see here. Crank Daddy's Bicycle Works in Milwaukee at 6:30 tonight, and then in Madison on Thursday the 28th at Machinery Row Bicycles at 6:30, and you'll be doing a reading and a book signing.
Yeah.
And are you going to bike to Milwaukee for that signing today?
I wish. I'm going to bring my bike down, though.
Okay, you're going to do some biking, but it won't be your mode of transport to get there.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Back to the phones. Thanks, Eric. We'll go to John, also in Milwaukee. Hi, John.
Hi, Rob. I was commuting to work on a bike, 26 miles round trip, and I just loved it. It was just great. Got all the stress out of your system before and after work. Now that I'm retired, I just ride around the Milwaukee area for exercise, and I combine it with hiking. But my question is, I'd like to ride my bike to Detroit and surprise some relatives there, just pull in one day. But I know you can't ride along the regular highway, you know, the superhighway. You have to take secondary highways or what to make a trip like that?
Yeah, I didn't see any bikes on the Skyway when I went through last week, Mike Magnuson. How do you do a route like that?
You know, I'm not altogether sure. You'd have to use it. I would imagine you'd search around on the internet for people who tried it. That sounds like an awful difficult attempt. I mean, if I were going to ride to Detroit, I would go up to Manitowoc and take the ferry across Lake Michigan and then come across Michigan that way instead of going through Chicago and all that, just because it scares me.
Yeah, that's
I'm a rural rider.
Yeah, that does sound like a challenge. I mean, you've got Milwaukee, Chicago, and Detroit all in one trip. That's a lot of urban biking.
It would be great, though. I mean, I could see, like, once you got there, that would be a heck of an accomplishment right there.
Now, intercity bikers a tribe unto themselves?
You know, I imagine it is. I mean, one thing that all cyclists do is they do something like the caller just mentioned. They think, oh, gosh, you know, I'd like to do that. Why can't I just ride to this place? And so, that's not a tribe we put in the book for sure, but I mean, that's key. And it starts, I mean, for me, when I was a little kid, I grew up in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. And that's kind of maybe 15, 20 miles on the back roads to Holy Hill, which is a pretty famous church out there that you can see from a long way away. And I remember when I was 10 and 11, we used to sneak out and just say, we're going to ride our bikes to Holy Hill. And we go all the way out there and back. And, you know, that's where people who ride bikes for their life start. They think about that. They think about going somewhere that's just a little bit too far than they should go. And, you know, just, and then the point is, whatever happens along the way becomes the adventure.
Pushing it a little farther each time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, John. We'll go to Carl in Madison now. Hi, Carl.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I consider myself a bicycle commuter and occasional bicycle tourist, like your other two callers, I guess. I go everywhere on my 1979 rally competition. I don't currently own a car. The bikes replaced the car, and I just enjoy it a lot. And I started commuting by bike really because it was cheaper than driving. And I found that it's also very enjoyable, much more enjoyable way to get to work than driving. And I used to live farther between work and home than I do today. But I also like to take trips on longer trips on the bike. I think bicycle tourism is a great way to see the country. And last summer I rode 3,200 miles from Portland back to Wisconsin, Portland, Oregon, back to Wisconsin.
Did you do that with a group, Carl?
No, I did it solo.
No kidding.
Yep, and there's some good websites you can use, like couchsurfing.org and warmshowers.org, people will host bikers. So I did that, and I also camped along the way. Saw some very, very beautiful national parks and other cool sites, and it's just a great way to see the country.
And I got to ask before I let you go, Carl, if you commute all the time, you don't have a car, you did this trip, you are an all-weather biker, is that right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You just have a rain suit and, you know, rain pants and raincoat. And
what's the worst weather you've biked in?
Yeah, what about winter time?
Yeah, what do you?
I actually have a separate winter bike that's got fat tires on it and sole rusty and stuff, so I don't worry too much about road salt. You know, I don't do long trips in the winter.
Fair enough. Thanks a lot, Carl. Wow. He's maybe a tribe of one there, or are there a lot of people doing what Carl does, Mike?
Oh, there's a lot. I mean, that to me, that seems like the coolest thing to do. You imagine riding your bike from Portland, Oregon, all the way back here to Wisconsin? What an epic trip.
That's epic. I think that's a great word for it.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, if people have the time and the will to do that, I think that's just the greatest thing. Touring, seeing the country, taking your stuff with you, you get to, you know, it's not a fast way to go across the country, but why bother, you know? I think that's just awesome what he does.
Talking to Mike Magnuson about his book, Bike Tribes, A Field Guide to North American Cyclists, about how we use our bikes. Casually, seriously, for fun, for competition, call in at 800-642-1234. A couple lines have opened up now. Ken in Verona is next. Hi, Ken.
Hey, hi, guys. Hey, that's a great program.
Thanks.
I guess I would categorize myself currently, as I'm 58 years old now, as more just of a recreational rider. But I crossed into a couple of the realms of your previous callers because I went to a friend's wedding one time in Westchester, Pennsylvania from Chicago, which is near Philadelphia, so it's on the other end of the state. And at the time, they had the ferry that ran out of Milwaukee. This was like 1980-something. So I took the ferry across to Ludington, Michigan, and routed out, you know, made a route from there, and it was an unbelievable solo trip.
Wow.
Ran into people would take you into their home. I camped in... Well, I actually only camped at an official campground once because I couldn't stand it, and so I would just find parks and places like that to hang out in. But I had people actually see what I was doing, had all my gear, and took me into their home, gave me a meal, and sent me on my way the next day, and it was an unbelievable experience.
Now, the way you said you're 58 now, am I hearing you right? You don't bike maybe as much as you used to?
I rode 25 miles on Sunday.
Oh, okay. No, you're still going strong.
Yeah, but I'm getting off the roads, though. I prefer, like, Military Ridge Trail and Badger State Trail, stuff like that. It's a lot less stressful these days.
Sounds good. Thanks for the call, Ken. And that's another one of your tribes, isn't it, Mike, the people who are riding those recreational trails?
Oh, yeah. And I have to say that I ride those all the time, too, here in near Appleton and Oshkosh and Hortonville, we have the Wheelwash Trail, which is a rail-to-trail thing. And in Wisconsin itself, we actually have more rail-to-trails in Wisconsin than any other state in the union. I mean, there's a little state park brochure that has them all listed, and there's over 100 of them. And they're fantastic. You know, they're everywhere. And for a lot of people, like me, you know, I was once hit by a pickup truck when I rode my bicycle. I've been deathly afraid of cars ever since, for understandable reasons. Mm-hmm. But when you're on a rail-to-trail, you can ride with whoever you're riding with side-by-side. There's obviously no cars. There's no big hills. It's wonderful. And you're out in the woods in the summertime. You know, it's not so hot. The wind isn't so bad. You know, terrific for people to be doing that.
Thanks for the call, Ken. Keep riding strong. On Facebook, Brian writes, I ride 10 miles every morning, starting at 5:30. For me, it is about general fitness and cardiac wellness. So he's one of the exercise biker tribes. Is that right, Mike Magnuson?
Yeah. And, you know, that's great. 10 miles every morning is perfect. Just riding is fantastic, for sure.
Now, do you have just a minute before news here, a favorite trail or a favorite place to ride in Wisconsin, just briefly?
Yeah, I mean, I like the Wiiwash Trail, like I mentioned, mm-hmm. and I've always, I grew up riding bikes in the Kettle Moraine outside of Menominee Falls and Hubertus and such, and I just think that that's just terrific. I've also really enjoyed riding over by Mineral Point and southwest Wisconsin, which is just the hilliest country you've ever seen and spectacularly beautiful. So I'd say, yeah, and probably southwest Wisconsin is my favorite place to ride. Followed by the Kettle Moraine region.
We'll continue our conversation with Mike Magnuson, author of Bike Tribes, a field guide to North American cyclists. And we'll keep taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What kind of cyclist are you? And let's open it up a little. Where's your favorite place to cycle in Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org. The news is coming up next. Rob Verrett filling in for Joy Cardine this week here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our topic this hour, bikes and the people who ride them. Guest is Mike Magnuson, author of Bike Tribes, a field guide to North American cyclists. Taking your calls at 800-642-1234. How do you use your bike? Are you a hardcore competitive biker? Casual ride to the store and back kind of biker? Do you hit the trails, the highways, or, you know, alongside the highways where that's legal? 1-800-642-1234. Mike, before we get back to the phones, though, I was wondering, do you have thoughts on, say, somebody out there is inspired, you know, I'm a casual biker, or I haven't pulled out my bike in years, and I want to get into it, I want to ride more, I want to get more exercise. What's a good way for them to start?
First of all, they got to pull the bike out of the garage or out of the basement and start riding it, get it tuned up and everything first. But I think one of the biggest things to keep in mind when you haven't been riding very much and you want to get in shape, particularly if you want to lose weight while you're riding your bike, is to ride at a slower pace with higher revolutions per minute. And generally a bike, if it's not a mountain bike, you'll have a big ring in the front where you're pedaled right on the crank of the bike and a smaller ring. So keep the bike in a smaller ring and pedal at a higher rate. And what this does is this allows your body to burn fat instead of sugar. And it also allows your legs to get accustomed to the motion. And you develop vascularity in your legs instead of if you get on your bike and you haven't been on it for a long time, and you try to ride it really hard, thinking that the harder you go, the better the exercise you get. A couple bad things will happen, most of which is if you ride really hard and you haven't been riding really hard, you'll be tired, and then you won't get back on the bike the next day. So if you get on with the idea of, if you get back into biking with the idea of being moderate about it, you will do a much better benefit for your body. And in fact, one of the great mysteries, or one of the great unknown truths about top-end professional cyclists, is a lot of times when they're riding their bike, they don't ride hard at all. You would think that, you know, a super high-end professional cyclist would always be going 30 miles down, an hour down the road, and, you know, at the maximum of their ability, but they don't. They develop their fitness by riding at easier paces and then work with intervals within that. So if you want to get into it, I think for sure, just take it mellow. And if you take it mellow, you'll end up becoming a lot stronger in the end than if you try to go out and prove something right
Sounds good. We'll get back to the phones now. We've got Wayne in Hartford on the line. Hi there, Wayne.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that my wife and I, in our middle 60s, by the way, ride a tandem bicycle. And we're members of the COWS, Couples on Wheels, the Wisconsin Tandem, the Wisconsin Tandem Club. And we obviously, well, I shouldn't say obviously, we don't ride as much as we'd like because we're still working. But our rallies usually have rides of 20, 30, 50, 60 miles. We can still do 50 if we have to. And every Labor Day, somewhere in the Midwest, there's the Midwest Tandem Rally, which brings in about 1,000 tandem riders. And this year it's going to be just outside of Madison in Middleton.
No kidding.
And it's going to be it's an amazing event. You just can't believe 500 tandems going down the road at the same time.
Now, Wayne, I want to ask Wayne, why did you and your wife decide to go tandem instead of, you know, riding side by side?
Well, actually, I wanted her to get a bicycle, and she said, "Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. We'll leave the driveway, and I'll see you 2 hours later."
Aha! Uh-huh.
And so we decided to try a tandem out, and I'm not kidding you. From literally the first ride, we just loved it, and it was just by accident I found out about the COWS. And a few months after we bought our tandem, we ended up going to our first tandem rally, which was in Appleton that year, and it was just amazing. And by the way, Appleton's got some great places to ride too. Anyway, we were hooked. Now we've been riding a tandem roughly 6 years or so now, and I give you an example. We have one couple. They actually live in Rockford, Illinois. They're in their late 70s, and regardless of where the tandem rally is, they ride their bike there. So there are a lot of people in their 60s and 70s and that ride 50 miles without blinking an eye. So the tandem riders of America are great people that love to stay in shape and love to promote their sport.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for the call, Wayne. Mike, tandems, do you see a lot of those out there?
Yeah, you don't see as many of them as you should. They say that the tandem is the greatest test of a couple that there's ever been invented. If you get along on a tandem, you're going to make it. That's what they say. The other thing about tandems is, boy, are they fast.
Just because you have two people pedaling?
Oh, my God. I used to live in Southern Illinois for a long time, and they had regular group rides down there. And there was a couple in town, a man and a woman, and both of them were really, really strong individually, and they got on that bike, and nobody could keep up with them. I mean, especially on a flat road. I mean, this was two strong people. It was like trying to follow a motorcycle. They were so fast.
Well, and here's a case of a bike tribe where they rode a tandem bike, and they really found the tribe of people out there, the tandem enthusiasts. Couples on Wheels was the group.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Perfect. Well, thanks a lot for the call. Christine in Luxembourg is with us next. Hi, Christine.
Well, good morning. I'm very glad to be able to share my story. I just rode my bike yesterday, and for me, it's a form of meditation and relaxation. I'm very fortunate to be very close to the Anapee Trails, which run from Kewaunee to Lake Michigan. You can hook up and go all the way to Shawano on some of the other trails that hook up in the Hubbard-Suamico area, which is north of Green Bay. And for me, I get into a groove, and all of a sudden the smells and the sounds of the birds and just the nature around me takes over and puts me in a very special place. It's really sometimes hard to explain. And at some point, I don't even know quite how far I've gone, but I've enjoyed every single moment of it. And it's very important in my life.
Christine, you said it was hard to explain, but I got to say, you painted a really good picture. It sounds like a great ride. Mike?
Yeah, I just love hearing that. One of the best things she said is it doesn't really matter how far she's gone.
Uh-huh. And she loses track of how far she's gone. She's into that meditation mode almost.
Yeah, I would say that for most people who ride bikes, that's really what it's all about, is just that feeling of being out there, the wind and the roadside flowers and all that. It's a great experience.
Thanks for the call, Christine. Dwayne in Hayward is with us next. Hi, Dwayne.
Yes, good morning. I guess right now in my life, I'm considering myself a casual racer. if there's such a thing, you know, 50 years ago, we were original mountain bikers taking our single speed down the logging trails in northern Wisconsin, you know. And I did a little bike touring, but in the last 10 years, I've been doing one 50-mile bike race a year. It's called the Firehouse 50. It's a fundraiser for the fire department in Grandview. And I have a fairly expensive racing bike now. And, you know, I do the one bike race a year, and I ride so I can do decent in the bike race.
And now, when you are in this race, Dwayne, are you in it to win it? Do you really push and try to win this thing?
Yeah, I run about 230. The top guys are running about 150 for 50 miles.
Okay, that's still not bad. And you were biking before it was cool, it sounds like.
Oh, I was, yeah. I mean, I did, you know, pretty good bike tour back when I was 15. That was in the mid-70s, you know, or early 70s. And, yeah, I remember I come from a large family. There was 8 of us in the family. And we lived on a poor farm, and we had 1, maybe 2 bikes for the whole 8 of us.
You took turns on it? On them?
Oh, yeah, using it. And then I remember, I think when I was about 10 or 11, you know, I wanted a bike for my birthday. Well, that was a huge expense for us. And
sure.
I got my own personal bike, and I've been a bike enthusiast ever since. I mean, I probably, you know, who knows how many miles. It's not like some guys. I know guys that put thousands of miles on in a month. And right now, training for the race, I'm probably putting 100 miles on a week.
No kidding. Well, thanks a lot, Dwayne. A great lifetime of biking. It sounds like that investment and that splurge on the bike paid off over the years. Mike, thoughts on Dwayne's story?
Yeah, that's great. I've heard of that event up there. It's supposed to be really good.
And the Firehouse 50.
Firehouse 50. And I'm real certain there's up there some of the greatest mountain biking in Wisconsin, obviously right around Hayward and Cable and all that. They use the cross-country ski trails, which are extensive up there. In the summer, they ride mountain bikes on them. Terrific, terrific riding up there.
Talking to Mike Magnuson, he's the author of Bike Tribes, a field guide to North American cyclists. He's got a couple readings coming up in Wisconsin, today in Milwaukee at Crank Daddy's Bicycle Works, that's at 6:30, and then Thursday in Madison at Machinery Row Bicycles, that's Madison 6:30 on Thursday, a reading and a book signing of Bike Tribes. Looking at the weather, mostly sunny and mild today with highs in the 70s and low 80s, good biking weather, cooler near the Great Lakes. Going to heat up later in the week, though. After lows in the 50s and 60s tonight, we're looking at 80s and 90s tomorrow and the next few days. Just a slight chance of rain starting Thursday. I'm Rob Ferret. I'm filling in for Joy Cardine this week. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob Ferret filling in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network. Coming up after 7, the U.S. House is expected to vote on contempt charges for Attorney General Eric Holder on Thursday. And meanwhile, President Obama is claiming executive privilege. It's all about these fast and furious documents relating to an ongoing scandal. I'll talk to a critic of the White House and of the Attorney General coming up after 7. This hour, we're talking bikes and people who ride bikes and why and how and where they ride. You can tell your story at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email talk@wpr.org. Mike Magnuson is with us. He's the author of Bike Tribes, a field guide to North American cyclists. Ron emails from Watertown. I bike for my health and fun. When I retired in 2003, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Biking in the summer and spinning in the winter has kept my blood sugar readings normal without medication. Last year, I logged over 5,000 miles on my bike. Mike Magnuson, a pretty good story of somebody who's biking mainly for their health.
Yeah. You know, that's inspiring to hear, too. You know, people can overcome a lot riding bikes. You know, part of it is it's really, if done correctly, it's a moderate form of exercise, and it's jarless, too. Of course, if you wipe out.
That's jarring.
But really, it's just a mellow form of exercise where it's good for your joints. You don't stress yourself out too much, and it works your body at an even rate over a long period of time, and that's really good for things like diabetes and weight control and stuff like that.
And what do you think about what Ron's doing there for people who maybe aren't up to biking all winter a stationary bike spinning inside.
Oh, spinning is great. I love going. I love doing spinning class. I teach spinning too, or I did at least all the last couple winters. I think it's a terrific thing to do. Part of it is if you want to ride a stationary bike during the winter, you know, you can go to the gym, and if you're not on a spin bike, you're going to be on just an exercise bike, staring off into space or looking at other people, which is interesting enough, I'm sure, you know. But in a spin class, it's sort of a group activity where people all concentrate on doing the same series of movements together. And ultimately, you know, everybody has an individual experience riding bikes, but biking is a group activity. It's a thing that brings people together, and spinning indoors does that. You know, and here in Wisconsin, you know, we have many months where we really can't get outside. And I think spinning is a terrific way to, you know, see other people who have similar interests. And the other thing about spinning class is it doesn't matter how fast you are. You can't really leave somebody behind on the road, can you?
Sounds good. Phil in Golden Lake is with us next. Hi, Phil.
Yeah, hey. This is a great show. I'm real anxious to get the book added to my sagging bookshelf of bike books, and it's great to hear from all these different shades of cycling enthusiasts as I have my coffee here this morning. A couple of things. One, you had a listener calling in about a route from Milwaukee to Madison, and I am in Golden Lake here. I'm on the Waukesha Jefferson County line. I use the Glacial Drumlin Trail a lot, going either way. And from here to Milwaukee, which is about 35 miles to the lakefront, I can go 27 of those miles now on a paved separate bike trail. Take the Glacial Drumlin to Milwaukee or to Waukesha. On the east side of Waukesha, you pick up the New Berlin Trail, which is paved. You take that to the Milwaukee County line, and then noodle around on the city streets for a couple of miles and pick up the new Hank Aaron State Trail, which is just great. It goes right past Miller Park, and that gets me within probably about a mile or less of the lakefront. Going the other way, it's a crushed limestone. The Glacial Drumlin is a crushed limestone trail to Cottage Grove, which is about 7 or 8 miles east of Madison. Then you got to get on roads there. But I also wanted to mention that there's, I'm sure your guest is aware of, there's a race series going on today called the Tour of America's Dairyland. It's actually been going on for a few days. It's a 10-day series with a race every day in southeast Wisconsin, ranging from venues in Madison, Milwaukee, Sheboygan, Fond du Lac. And today I'm actually going to ride my bike into Milwaukee for the Schlitz Park criterium that's going to be going on, and then ride back tonight because
all right.
I've got really good lights for my bike, and I can ride these separate trails with no sweat at night and not have to worry about the traffic at all.
All right. Well, good luck in that race, Phil. You know, Mike Magnuson, listening to Phil describe that trail made me think bicyclists see geography differently than people who rely on cars or walking. Am I right? I mean, they think about Wisconsin laid out totally differently than everyone else.
Oh, yeah. They do. And they're always thinking of a way to get through without having to encounter heavy traffic. And, you know, one thing for sure you find in almost all cyclists who ride a lot is they tend to know the back roads in their areas better than anybody. They're almost like postmen or UPS drivers or something. They just know every road. They remember the name. They study maps at night to see where they're going to ride the next day. And, you know, I think that's really neat. You know, when you drive a car through the thing, too, you're going a lot faster than on a bike. And you kind of get a more intimate look at our state.
Intimate. I think that is one of the words I was looking for but not coming up with.
I remember, actually, though, on the flip side of that, somebody mentioned the Anapee State Trail before.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in high school, I walked on the Ice Age Trail from Sturgeon Bay down to Menominee Falls. I went backpacking with my buddy the year before my senior year, and it took 12 days to walk it, and it was great and everything. But I remember I decided right then and there that I was going to ride bikes on those trails instead of walking, because walking was really damn slow, let me tell you that.
It's hard to set aside those 12 days for that hike sometimes.
Oh, my God. I mean, it was a great trip. I'm glad I did it, but I've been riding bikes exclusively ever since.
Back to the phones now with Larry from Cortez, Colorado. Hi, Larry.
Hey there. I agree a lot with what Mike's saying. I grew up in Menominee Falls and lived outside of Cross Plains for, probably 15 years. And my favorite kind of biking, which I can't do out here, is with a mountain bike that has slicks on it that you can pump up to 100 pounds to reduce rolling resistance, and then put the bike on my car, drive out to some area that I want to bike around, like, I don't know, Mazamani or Spring Green or something like that, and with a photocopied page of from the Wisconsin Gazetteer, just go on township roads, which are essentially 18-foot wide bike trails, because the only people that go on township roads seem to be local residents and farm equipment, and there aren't a lot of places in this country where there are great paved roads that are hilly, scenic, and nobody drives on hardly. They're perfect for biking, and it's free, and it's wonderful. I don't think people in southern Wisconsin realize what fantastic biking opportunities there are.
Thanks, Larry. I hope you can make it back to southern Wisconsin and do some more biking. Have you biked over there, Mike?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, I got to think of what he was saying. You know, the other great aspect to Wisconsin is, I think for the most part, motorists seem friendly to cyclists, especially on those rural roads. And when you're out riding in farm country in Wisconsin and you stop at a convenience store or something like that, well, the people are so nice to you. They are. You know, you get somebody to make you a sandwich behind the deli counter at a little rural convenience store. It's just a great thing. And the other thing it's probably too late for callers to disagree with me, but when I've lived in other parts of the country, I have been chased by dogs no end. Dogs have chased me. And since I've been living here in Appleton and riding bikes, I have not been chased by a dog one time. So I keep thinking, maybe Wisconsin just has nicer dogs.
Nicer dogs or better dog owners, maybe.
Better dog owners.
Well, I didn't want to let the hour go by without mentioning the Tour de France starts this Saturday, I think. Is there a tribe of bicyclists who will be watching, following that closely?
I think it's a more hardcore bunch. You know, I think your century riders and people who ride their bikes regularly tend to watch the Tour de France. And it's a great spectacle. It ruins 3 weeks of my life every year. You know, the only thing I ever feel bad about the Tour de France is there's a lot of other racing available that you can watch. And people, you know, it seems like most folks just watch that race.
Gotcha.
And, of course, there's the Giro d'Italia and the Vuelta a España and little classics all the time that are terrific.
Mike, we're all out of time, Mike. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right, very good.
That's Mike Magnuson, author of Bike Tribes, A Field Guide to North American Cyclists. Thanks to Amanda Magnus and Naya Mukherjee for producing this hour. Hey, we don't have to be done with the conversation. If you were inspired to get back on the bike by this show, follow up with the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or send us an email, talk@WPR.org. Interested to see if anybody follows up on this. Stick around, more to come after 7. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.